Welcome back to another episode of Awareness to Action Enneagram Podcast. My name is Creek, and I'm with my sempiternal co-host, Mari Shikora, Maria Jose Munita, who is finally back with us.
Was I gone?
The strike is over. You've been gone for like 8 weeks.
Have I? But I was with you for type two, kind of coaching type two.
Yeah, like 3 months ago.
Man, well.
No, it's not that bad. Only kidding.
Well, I need to make myself scarce, you know. Yeah. It's a strategy I'm following.
It's what our audience wants. So,
yeah.
You want everyone to know the severe lack that is present when you are gone. I see. That line to four. Yeah.
So let's go back to the adjective there, Creek. We're getting, you can tell we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. So go ahead. Give it to us again.
Sempiternal, something like that.
What I don't know how to say it.
Just like these two's relationship of constantly what's the word?
Bickering and
bickering. There it is. Eternal and unchanging, everlasting. Their bickering is so. Yeah. That was worth the wait, wasn't it?
There you go.
So we're moving on to threes, and how in the world do you coach these guys?
Yeah. Can I say before we move on to the threes, you know, we talked about the twos last time Maria Jose was here back in the 90s. You know, we did hear from our friend.
When I was 15?
When you were 15. Yeah. No, we heard from our friend and friend of the podcast, Joel Rothiser. I did. He sent me an email about twos. And Joel works in, he does a lot of work with in the public sector. And with not-for-profits or government organizations. And he pointed out that he's got quite a bit of experience coaching twos, male twos, right, in particular. Hmm. So, he said that, number one, his experience with them confirms that our thinking of them as striving to feel connected is more accurate than, you know, some of the other things we hear. But also, you know, he wanted to be sure that we're making the point that they're, you know, they're not timid people and they're not afraid to be leaders and all that sort of thing. And I think, when we talked about the twos, we tried to be clear and say, you know, we're not saying that every two is like this, and some of them are assertive leaders. You know, we're just talking about our experience. So I appreciate Joel sharing his experience as well.
Yeah. And I think that is one stereotype that has been broken for me with twos, that twos are actually more aggressive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Can be, even the preserving two.
Yes.
Not just men.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Awesome.
So threes.
So speaking of Joel. yes, threes.
Mm-hmm.
How do we coach them?
Well, this is a type I've got a lot of experience with, and I'm sure Maria Jose does too, right? I mean, you know, we run into a lot of these folks in the corporate world and at, you know, more senior levels of the corporate world. So, you know, I've coached lots of threes over the years.
Yeah, me too. And we first need to keep in mind that they're striving to feel outstanding. And that, at least here, I don't know how it is in the US where it's more of a three culture, but here sometimes it rubs people the wrong way when you are kind of trying to feel outstanding, that when you are talking about your accomplishments and things like that. But they can be very successful and do a really good job. I just want to kind of say that before we run into kind of how we coach the things where they get off track.
Yeah. I also think that the threes are often misunderstood, misrepresented, misdescribed in a lot of the Enneagram literature, right? I think that you know, there's this, there used to be, I don't know if it's still kind of the common thought that threes don't do Enneagram work very well, you know, or aren't drawn to, you know, that kind of development. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about threes being deceptive and dishonest and, you know, liars and, you know, et cetera. It's just not my experience. You know, again, I find threes to be no more deceptive than anybody else, right? And that's not even the original reference to the vice. You know, it's not about being a liar. It's about kind of deceiving ourselves into believing that the, you know, the personality is the true self. So, you know, threes, like all of us, and perhaps even more so, can fall into that trap of identification with the identity. But, you know, I think that they're unfairly represented. They're not all, you know, attention hogs. I think that it varies based on the instinctual bias. I think, for example, that preserving threes don't like that much attention, right? They're not drawn to the spotlight because what they're focused on is how do I be outstanding at preserving and getting things done? And if I'm drawing too much attention on myself and if I'm, you know, spending too much time in the spotlight, then I'm not getting any work done. Right. So there's a lot of misunderstandings about threes that I think are important to understand if we really want to work with them.
Sometimes I have difficulty distinguishing threes from other numbers. And there, part of it is there does seem to be always a withholding something about themselves, which just makes my alarm bells go off. Yeah. And like, I don't know how to give a preliminary hypothesis if I feel like I'm being held out of some important data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, one of the key things that allows me to identify a three is their goal orientation. It's how much they value effectiveness and efficiency and also how adaptive they are. So it's kind of, I'll move quickly and in a flexible way in order to accomplish my goals. And to me, that's one of the things that it's really sets them apart from other types.
Yeah. There is a crafting of the image, right, that happens. And even with the preserving threes, there's a very conscious attention to the image and how they come across. And there's a deliberateness in the perception that they're giving, right? But they usually reserve it for, you know, the more important things in their world, you know? I mean, and it doesn't mean that there's not a real sincere person there. You just have to get to them to the place where they're comfortable with, you know, it's like with eights, okay? You know, you don't see the sensitivity and softness until...
until they're broken.
Until they're on their deathbed.
See, that just goes to show you that neither of you have gotten to know me well enough.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so, you know, it takes time. And, you know, I have seen tremendous sensitivity and thoughtfulness and empathy in threes when they're relieved of the need to feel like they're performing in some way.
Yeah. Right?
I think it would be helpful to kind of talk about some of the fundamentals of threes, what's really happening with them, what makes them a three. And I also think that when talking about coaching threes, probably this is true of all the types, but might be even more important with threes, is that understanding the instinctual bias is really, really important when figuring out how to coach a three. Because the three subtypes are really, really different people.
Are you going to talk about the fundamentals?
Well, I was taking a break there. See if anybody else wanted to jump in, but
just go ahead.
Okay, folks, welcome to the Mario Square Podcast, and we're gonna. So the three the strategy of the type three is striving to feel outstanding. Okay. And so they are goal driven. Maria Jose referred to their goals earlier. And that really, really is important because goals are how they measure themselves. It's how they know that they're being outstanding. And by outstanding, we mean standing out. I remember a three telling me one time, well, no, I mean, it's we can overlook how basic that term is, right? And I remember a three telling me one time, I don't have to be the best. I just need to be a little bit better than everybody else, right? And, you know, and that's when you think about it, that's really just saying I need to be the best, but that's not how they think of it, right? It's just there's this part of me that wants to get attention. Why? Because it's through the attention that I get from others, the noticing that I get from others, where I get my feeling of approval, my feeling of, am I getting, am I doing okay? Okay. I did a feedback review session with a three just last week, and he asked me a question that so many threes ask at the end of a session. So, how did this go?
Yeah. How did I do?
And how did I do? You know, and this guy said in particular, you know, I know you've done a lot of these 360s. How would you compare it to, you
I've
know,
got
other
that
people's?
So many times.
And it's fascinating. Yeah. You know, it's just fascinating because nobody else asks that, right? It's only three. But it's because they really want to know how they're doing. Yeah. And that's how they get their sense of I'm okay. I'm okay because these other people approve of me and are telling me I'm doing okay. Yeah. All right.
So why outstanding versus exceptional?
Because, well, you know, it's a good question.
It's my job.
Yeah, well, exceptional, you know, that's kind of a one-of-a-kind thing, right? It's an exception.
Four with three wing.
Right? Oh, don't start. So it's, you know, so it's not quite that, right? For the three, I don't have to be exceptional. Like this three I mentioned said, I don't have to be better than everybody else. You know, I don't have to be the best. I don't have to be, you know, he didn't say exceptional, but that's what that would have been. It's just, I just need to be a little bit better than everybody else.
It's in relation to who's around me.
Yes. And the other thing is, too, is that threes don't want to be too different, right? They want to be, they want to fit in well. They don't want to be an exception in that sense. They don't want to be unique like the four does. They want to be just like everybody else, but a little bit better.
Yeah, and I would say that more than exceptional, it's excellence they're striving for. So at least transmitting threes strive for excellence, but not really exceptional. Yeah.
Yeah, so so it's striving to feel outstanding. It's you know, the neglected strategy is a 0.6, striving to feel secure. And this doesn't mean that threes, you know, drive without their seatbelts or run with scissors or anything like that. It's that they don't want to fit in with the crowd, right? They don't want to get lost in the crowd. They want to stand out a little bit. And the support strategy is at 0.9, striving to feel peaceful, where they want to make it look easy. Okay, it's they want to work really hard. They want to be acknowledged for their accomplishment, but they don't want to make it look like they tried too hard and it was too hard of an effort to be, you know, as good as they are.
Yeah. And I've seen when it starts to become too hard and too obvious that they're struggling, they'll ditch.
Yes. Yes, absolutely right. You know, I don't know if we've talked about David McClelland's work on motivation theory on this podcast before, but McClelland, you know, talks about three styles of leaders or three motivations of leaders. And when you read his descriptions, it's like he's writing about nines, threes, and eights, right? And when he talks about this striving to feel, I'm sorry, no, that's our terminology. When he talks about a need for achievement, people with a very high need for achievement, he's describing threes. And he makes that very point, right? That there has to be this sweet spot. It has to be hard enough to be worth doing and, you know, getting some recognition for it. But if it's too hard, then I'm going to look like a failure. So I'm going to, like you said, bail. And that might mean changing jobs, you know, that sort of thing.
Can we tease out the goal-oriented thing a little bit more? Because I think a lot of people are goal-oriented. I mean,
yeah,
we've had a lot of transmitting nines on recently, and we've talked about, you know, they can have goals, but a harder time accomplishing them. So is it about the consistency of accomplishing their goals, or what's, yeah. Well, how do we, lots of transmitters do that sort of vibe.
And lots of other profiles types. As well.
Yeah.
Maria, you want to say something?
Yeah. I think that for them, it's just so fundamental to have goals and to kind of make the effort to get there. And it almost defines them. I think that with the others, we can all have goals, but they're not that important to us, or they don't define us as they do for threes. I think that threes in general are quite ambitious. When you talk to them and just scratch a bit on the surface, when talking about incentives and goals and accomplishing that, and it's just, they cannot live without them. You know, if they don't have goals, it's like they're dead.
Yeah. It really does come down to this thing about identity, mm-hmm. right? You know, we might have talked before about how with eights, you know, eights get their sense of self by pushing against things, right? And they understand where the boundaries are and what appropriate behavior is and not through the feedback loop of pushing against. Okay. Threes, on the other hand, get their sense of identity through a feedback loop, right, of achievement and recognition of that achievement. So I have to set a goal so I know who I am, right? So I know, you know, what my, you know, value is, in a sense. And we get into the core quality of value and how that kind of gets twisted up and, you know, distorted and stunted in threes. But it really is all about, I just don't know who I am if I'm not trying to achieve something. And it helps even more if somebody sees me doing it and can give me feedback on it.
What are some common things that you end up working on with threes?
It's hard to not start with the accelerator, I think, but I won't. So with threes, my experience is that you need to work with the incentives, with incentives. So it's not, I'll give an example. I had a client who was quite young, like your age, Greg. Like he was like 33 when I coached him, and he was the youngest in the executive team by far. Kind of the current, the CEO at the time was like 60 years old and like really old. No, a lot older than him, like twice the age. And, and this guy, the 34-year-old, wanted to be CEO. And everybody looked at him like, how does he dare even saying that, you know? We're all in line before him and he wants to be the CEO. So when I coached him, I never said, look, you know, you don't have to be so ambitious. Our other people should be CEOs before you do. They have more experience. I said, okay, so if you want to be CEO, what do you have to do? And you need to behave in a more, I don't know, humble way. And you need to have more executive presence. And you need to do this and you need to do that. So I worked with that incentive, with that goal in mind, so that he would improve and change his behavior in a way that would be more suited to be CEO, to become CEO. Well, the thing is that when the CEO retired, he was made CEO for kind of, they put him there to see if it worked, and it did. But, and he was the youngest of the team.
Wow.
But if you try to say, don't be so ambitious, it's like, and I always tell my clients who have reports for threes, it's about putting the right incentives for a three, and they'll just run after it. But you need to put incentives that are the correct ones. You need to find the correct incentives with a three.
A classic issue I get with threes, and, you know, I think we should talk about the different things that we find that, you know, preserving threes versus navigating threes versus transmitting threes typically need to work on. But one of the kind of fundamental things I see over and over again is that threes struggle to go from being an individual contributor or manager of a small team to a leader of a big group. Right. And one of the reasons is because of their need to be outstanding, they tend to figure out how to be successful on their own. Right. They, you know, they might seek out, you know, mentoring or something, but they often don't get it. So they have figured out how to do it on their own, and they just expect everybody else to be able to figure it out as well. Or they get that other people can, but since they never got mentoring, they don't know how to mentor and coach people. Right. So it's like the great athlete who, you know, just doesn't know, you know, could never coach other people to do it, or the great musician who could never teach music. So to follow up on Maria Jose's point about incentive in that situation, you know, what I'll say to the client is we've got to learn how to go from being an outstanding doer to an outstanding leader. Right. You're still keeping that incentive of being outstanding, but it's being outstanding at something different than you're used to. And, you know, one of the great things about threes is that they really do want to improve. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, when they're hungry for growth and, you know, again, if you can frame it the right way, they will work hard to improve. Yeah. And, so, you know, I love working with threes because, you know, they're some of my biggest success stories because, you know, all you got to do is just tweak things a little bit and they're off to the races.
Yeah, right? I agree. And building on that, they might be a really good leader of a team, but they compete against the other teams. Like, this is my domain and I want to be the best. I want to be outstanding here. That means that if you do anything, like the other areas do anything that go against me, getting closer to my goals, I'll fight against you. So again, there, when you tell them, look, if you want to keep rising in the organization, you need to think more broadly and stop competing and start collaborating and have a broader sense of what's your responsibility and what's your goal. So instead of just your area, it's the whole company that you want to be outstanding, and they get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I'd be cautious about telling them not to be competitive, right? But, you know, you want to teach them to compete at the enterprise level instead of the functional level. Right.
So, exactly.
You know, if they're head of marketing or something, you know, they might feel like they're competing against engineering or sales or whatever. And you say, well, no, let's start thinking about competing against the competition here. Right. And so be outstanding at the enterprise level, not just at your functional level. And again, they get that, and it's where they want to go. Now, like we said, you really do have to think about the subtype here. And because the preserving three, these are the people who are the task-oriented, kind of keep your head down, or at least comparatively for a three, keep your head down. They're not as driven by attention. They're not as driven by the spotlight. In fact, they often see the spotlight as a distraction. Okay? They have tasks. They want to be outstanding at getting stuff done. So, you know, and again, it doesn't mean that they don't want to get recognition, and some of them get really good at managing their careers. But one of the things I've had to work with preserving threes about is actually promoting themselves better, right? And stepping into the spotlight more and start thinking about the importance of building relationships and building a personal brand, because it's not where their attention will typically go.
And they might end up doing so much work and thinking that that's enough, that's sufficient in order to I don't know, keep advancing in the organization or getting the recognition that they think they deserve, but they need to promote themselves more.
Usually they get ahead by working really, really hard, right? And just outworking everybody else. I mean, I've had, you know, I remember there's a preserving three that I've known. You know, I first worked with them in the late 90s, and, you know, we've stayed in touch. And my first recollection of him was in a team meeting where, you know, he was taking phone calls throughout the meeting. You know, he was in sales. And so he's getting sales done and he's getting stuff done. And this guy was just, you know, I mean, he just worked, you know, around the clock. I had another preserving three say to me one time, he bragged about only getting 3 hours of sleep every night and tending to work 20-hour days at times, you know? And I said, dude, that's your first problem, you know? I mean, you know, you're married, you have a family, you know? And, oh, no, I take Sundays off, you know, kind of thing like that, right? So with the preserving three, it's a very different set of coaching needs than a transmitting three has, right? The transmitting three, that's the person who graduates college and immediately thinks they're going to be CEO in a month, right? You know, and I've seen this over and over again, like, you know, Maria Jose was describing with her client. And they often go through this process of alienating their coworkers because of their ambition, right? Like you were describing in your situation. And they have to learn how to play the political game. Okay. Again, the navigating domain's a zone of indifference for them. They don't get the politics, right? Yeah. So that's the piece they have to learn, how to build relationships and schmooze people and, you know, bring the team along, et cetera.
Yeah. And if you get a transmitting three who is ambitious and smart, they will have a lot to brag about. And people end up thinking it's like a one-man show. And it's like rolling their eyes, like, here they go again, you know? But they need to be careful about that, because if you make it all about yourself, it's, you don't get other people on board.
Yeah, they can struggle to build those relationships. Yeah. And now when it comes to relationship building, the real masters of it are the navigating threes. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the classic schmoozers, relationship building. When I say schmoozers, it's just, you know, they know how to connect to people. They know how to, they know all the right, you know, they know all the manners. They dress exactly the right way. It's not super flashy. It's not, you know, too down to earth. It's just right. You know, they drive just the right car. They drink just the right wine, all these sort of things. Again, it's not over the top, but it's, you know, just a little bit better than everybody else's kind of thing.
In my experience, many of them have a really good balance between understanding the politics and building teams, building kind of good relationships with stakeholders, building trust and the goal orientation. So it's, to me, it's a really good combination of skills, natural skills in this profile.
Yeah. And one of the things they do struggle with more than the other two versions of the three is seeming inauthentic, right? And these are the ones who really are the chameleons in a way, right? They will, you know, they'll like the same things that you like. They'll look for things in common, and you can start to wonder, okay, who's the real person here? You know, you get to know them. Okay, I've got, you know, navigating threes I've known for years and worked with for years and like, and, you know, and it can take some time to get behind the facade, you know, beyond the facade with the navigating three, more even than the other two threes.
It sounds like a potential mistyping with a transmitting nine of sorts. Just from the standpoint of, like, you never quite know, is this yours or is this mine that we're like interest wise or.
Yeah, I think the key,
or even ones, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that, well, you know, it's funny because I meant to comment on this earlier. So you'll get a lot of threes who really identify as ones early on because they like that idea of being a perfectionist until you talk about what a perfectionist really is. And then they say, oh, that's not me, right? You know, it's you know, like they realize, hey, wait, I'm not a perfectionist at all, unless somebody's going to see this, right? If somebody's going to see it, then it needs to be perfect, right? But if nobody's going to see it, yeah, I'm just going to brush this under the rug. It's going to be fine. Nobody will notice, kind of thing, right? But I'll say the key distinction between the navigating three and the transmitting nine is self-deprecation, right? You really don't hear much self-deprecation from navigating threes. Now, they're not the, you know, they're not necessarily going to draw as much attention to their accomplishments as the transmitting three will, and they'll be much more likely to praise other people and acknowledge other people than, you know, a lot of people will. But that's the key thing, is I think between those two subtypes is the self-deprecation.
There's a three in my life that I think there's also, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but a misnomer that threes are materialistic. And there's a three in my life that kind of on a whim, he joined this like RV group of like just out of high school boys going around the country, like doing random acts of kindness and like filming it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Gave his life to that in a lot of different ways and lived, you know, penny to penny. And then he came back and into town and established himself, got a really great job doing sales, and still drove his minivan until it literally just crumbled to pieces when he could have afforded any car at any point. And like, so that seems more preserving three to me. But it was about, you know, making money, but it wasn't really about being all that flashy or materialistic.
But,
more just, yeah.
But it was on YouTube, right? So.
Well, some of it was. Some of it was, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing. It was just not for himself. And
look at how selfless
I am. Yeah. So it was on YouTube.
Nah.
I think it's, look, many of the things that anybody does, including threes, are kind of honorable and they're good intentions, sure. And all of that. Now, it also depends on what the community, the people around them, values. So if he's part of a community that values that, he might feel outstanding by doing that. So it's not just materialistic. It's how do I feel outstanding at the eyes of the people around me? In the eyes of the people around me. So it's the material aspects of it. I can be the best monk and have no no belongings or like no material things, but I'll be the best one.
Yeah, completely agree, right? It's all about what the strategy is aimed at. And in the United States, we tend to be a fairly materialistic society. So a lot of the threes we see in the United States, you know, aim at that material success. But again, it's not what drives all threes, even in the United States. So
I think that's a really important point. Because whenever I think of threes, like the image of a guy in a suit, you know, comes to mind.
Yeah.
Some sort of transmitting businessman, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, just, reminding myself that there's multiple ways to be outstanding other than to be successful in the business world.
Yeah. There's, I'm sure he's not alive anymore, but I don't know I'm guessing he's not alive anymore, but I'm not positive. There was a Tibetan monk named Tartong Tolka, who was actually one of Claudio Naranjo's teachers back in the 60s. And, you know, he came over from Tibet and started a publishing company, Dharma Publications. And a lot of the books were about how to be really successful in the spiritual pursuit, you know? I mean, how to live a skillful life. One of his more, you know, well-known books was called Skillful Means. And how do I do this spiritual thing really well, right? How do I optimize my spiritual practice, you know, kind of thing? So yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was no Osho who had 87 Rolls Royces or anything. I don't know what his material needs were, but you know, that's not what drove him.
So one of the other, something else I work with threes, it's how to build trust. Because they're so flexible and adaptable, people might struggle to really know who is there. And I think Mario touched on that, but it's something that they're not aware of. And I think that's the blind spot as well. So it's that's something that threes need to become aware of and try to, I don't know, explain themselves better, be deliberate in sharing certain things that people might benefit from knowing about them so that they can read them better and they trust them more. Because many times it feels like they only care about their own agenda, their own accomplishment, and they will go wherever the kind of wind takes them in order to get to accomplish their goals. And that doesn't create trust with other people. So that, to me, that's something that I work with several of the three clients I have.
Yeah. I think with the three, I think this is a good place to talk about the accelerators, tied to this, because the accelerator at point three is purpose. And usually when I'm working with someone around purpose, the first question I ask them is about meaning, right? What is meaningful to you? What is satisfying to you? What gives you a sense of being important in a real way in your life? And once you think about those things, then how do you tie that to some sense of purpose, right? This is what I am trying to achieve in life. And one of the things that does for the three is it allows them to say no to things that don't fit their purpose, right? So if their purpose is to go around doing random acts of kindness, I'm not going to do other things. You know, I'm not going to take that, prestigious job at an advertising agency or something because it doesn't fit my purpose of what I want to do. And until three kind of figures out what that is, they can kind of bounce around in life. And it becomes easier once they have that sense of purpose to reveal who they really are to people, like Maria Jose was saying. You know, I can build trust because now you know what I'm after, right? We don't have to wonder what my agenda is because I can tell you my agenda. So developing, some sense of purpose is really critical for threes, as is, the accelerators at the two other points, six and nine. Nine is about generativity. Right? It's about giving back. It's about helping the next generation grow. And this is something that really moves threes once they get to that, kind of second part of life, right? Is, the Army used to have the motto of be all you can be. And threes spend the first part of their lives wanting to be all they can be, but then wanting to help other people be all they can be as well. Right, so you get like an Oprah Winfrey or a Tony Robbins, kind of personality who really is motivated, by trying to help other people, even if they have, I've got bones to pick with both of those people. But, but I really do believe they sincerely want to see other people grow and be happy and flourish.
Yeah, and that's something that threes have in general, that they want other people to be the best version of themselves and try to kind of be a role model in that regard. I think the other thing, and you touched on it, but one of the typical issues with threes is that they take on too much, because the more I take, the more opportunities I have to feel outstanding. And sometimes they have a hard time discriminating what to take and what not to take on. And having a purpose, a clear purpose, allows them to say no to certain things, which it's hard. They have a hard time saying no to things that can potentially make them feel outstanding, which is counterintuitive to kind of seeing that the more I take, the more I increase the chances of not doing an outstanding job there. But they don't see it that way.
So as we're kind of wrapping up here, I know you talked about, you know, laying into the, like using incentives while coaching. What are some other ways that you use to, you know, break hard news to a three softly, or just maybe just instinctual bias specific incentives? Like, is it moving up the ladder? Is it always monetary? What do you tend to use?
Yeah, well, I find that those two things, you know, monetary or moving up the ladder, I was about to say, I don't know that they motivate threes any more than they motivate other Enneagram types, but I'm not sure if I'd go quite that far. So a preserving three is going to want to have a nice, comfortable life, but they're not going to be the big spender, the big risk taker, the big, you know, investment banker type who's going to take lots of risks and all that sort of thing, right? It's the transmitters that are the risk takers, not the preservers. So what the preserving three wants is a nice, stable, comfortable, consistent, you know, world around them, right? And so whenever I'm working with a three and it comes to incentive, it's how does their behavior actually take them away from that kind of consistency and stability and, you know, security that they're looking for. Okay. And steering it back to that. And so for example, something you'll see is that they work too many hours, or they might work too many hours. So it's like, okay, you know what? You're going to have a heart attack and die. Right. So, you know, what's your family going to do then, sort of thing. Right. Which again, that's a motivation that will matter to them. So, you know, and the other thing I'll say, particularly for some, you know, one of the things we see with preserving threes is they really take on too much and they don't delegate well, right? And we say, you know, if you have to do everything yourself, it means you're failing as a leader, right? Because good leaders get things done through other people. And that's a real smack in the face to them, right? It's you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's right. I don't want to be seen as somebody who is not as successful as I perceive myself to be, or the definition of success is not what I think it is. I'll give another example. And this guy was a navigating three, and somebody I worked with a long, long time ago, and we still stay in touch. I started working with him when he was a senior director in an organization. And every time I'd see this guy, he's dashing through the halls, right? It's like he's late for something, you know. He just walked really fast and had a lot of intention. And he was always carrying stuff and he always looked busy. And I said, you know what? I see you walking through the halls and you don't look like a leader to me. You look like the guy who's here to fix the computer, right? And he told me years later, he said, you know, that was the best piece of advice I have ever gotten, you know, and it was just to slow down and don't carry as much, right? Look like you have it under control. And it completely changed him, right? Because I weighed into that. Now, you might say, okay, well, so what? You just helped him, you know, change the perception and be more successful. But he gave himself a lot less stress, okay? And he was able to create stability, confidence, and comfort in the people around him because he wasn't always dashing through the hallway, right? Making everybody nervous.
Yeah. It's a well-known biological fact of moving slowly does calm your nervous system down.
Yeah.
It's just basic.
And it builds confidence in you. You know, is that great line from Goodfellas, you know, when they're introducing all the gangsters and they introduce Paulie, who's the boss, you know, and Henry Hill says, you know, Paulie always moves slow because he didn't have to move fast for anybody, right? So, you know, so it's just that thing of, you know, when you're comfortable in yourself and you move more slowly, it sends a message that, you know what, I've got it under control.
I'm going to use that excuse next time I'm late.
but you have to not have to move slowly, you know, fast for anybody first. Yeah.
And I've worked with other threes on the same thing. Like, what's the image you're sending? And they resonate with that so quickly. Like, do you have your computer open? Yes. What message are you sending?
And that message you know, look, when you have your computer over, you're sending a message to people that you don't care what they have to say.
Or that you need to look into the kind of worksheets or things like that. And you should be beyond that, not above that, not looking into the
point
details.
You're absolutely right, Maria Jose, but the point I wanted to make is that they do care what other people are experiencing, right? They care about other people.
Yeah,
and this is something we don't, you know, acknowledge about threes. Is I can't tell you how many times I've had threes just break down crying over how important it is for them to help people, to take care of people, to buy a house for their mother, you know, kind of thing, to take care of their family. It's really, really important for them. And, you know, we might say, oh, well, that's because, you know, you want to be successful and be able to show you did that. But you know what? You don't cry if just being able to show off is what motivates you, right? I mean, it really does come from a good place.
Last thing, so one of my friends is a three, I think a preserving three. And at one point I had COVID decently bad, and he's not really that externally emotional, but he was the one person that consistently checked up on me for no reason.
Yeah.
Just like, how you doing? Do you need anything?
Yeah.
And then that's it. And we don't text that often, you know, but when he heard I was really sick, he just kept texting me. And that was so meaningful for me.
Yeah.
All right. Any final words for the people out there coaching threes or who are three?
My only last words, I really think the Enneagram world has to get better at understanding threes. I think the perception of them is way, way off, you know, for most people. And so you start to see threes who are in the Enneagram world actually feeding into that, right? And emphasizing their industriousness and, you know, their accomplishment and their need for achievement, instead of acknowledging their hearts, you know, in the way that they should.
To me, they're one of my favorite clients because they just want to get better, as Mario was saying. And it's almost like a pleasure to coach threes.
All right, folks, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Awareness to Action Enneagram podcast. If you're interested in more information about Awareness to Action, their certification programs or events, feel free to reach out to us through the links in the show notes or by emailing info@awarenesstoaction.com.